DJ Event Planner will change the way you manage and run your business. Streamline all of your procedures and software into one easy-to-manage system. DJ Event Planner, the ultimate online planning tool.
Sure, sure. We're live now, so.
Oh, okay. We'll continue talking about this.
Yeah, we'll continue talking about it. So anyway, these little demo tapes, I've actually found some of those.
We're talking about Huey Lewis's song, Heart and Soul. The way that song happened was, for Huey Lewis, was the song turned up on a Ford demo tape. These were tapes that you used to get if you bought a Ford vehicle. You could test the stereo out in. And they had tracks on there that really weren't hits or anything. They were just tracks recorded by a lot of studio musicians and things. And the song Heart and Soul turned up on there by somebody. And Huey found it and said, hey, I like this. I want to do it. So they did the track. And it became a hit for them. But whoever originally did it didn't do much.
It was on that.
But yeah.
Interesting.
So that's how that happened.
So it was... I could see the guys like, oh man, I sold it to Ford for $50 and now look what he did with it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is, you know. If you YouTube it, you can find the original. And it's still good. It's very different. Huey Lewis the News really did a nice job with it. And it was such a unique track. I always thought that one had so much texture to it. It's almost like a couple of different songs mushed together. Because when it gets to the chorus after the bridge, it doesn't sound like the same song you were listening to before. It's cool that way. And every other Huey Lewis song is standard pop formula, but that one's just so different. I love it. It rocks, which is funny to say about Huey Lewis in the News, but it does. It rocks.
So anyway, we're going to talk Huey here for a few minutes because you've gotten into a topic in which I've got albums up there of his.
John's favorite, Huey Lewis.
Yes, that was a big one. Have you ever seen them perform in concert?
Not live. No.
Before the concert, you mentioned Heart and Soul was one of your favorite songs. And that would have been probably right there with that. When we saw them in concert, I think probably my favorite were the songs that they went out there and basically were doing a cappella.
Like It's All Right and things like that?
Naturally and Bad is Bad, which isn't completely a cappella. Bad is Bad has a drum machine, I believe, in the background of it. But when they come out at the front of the stage and they basically, you know, start the drum machine and the guys are singing and doing their thing, it's like, that was really, really, really cool. And yeah. For me at that time, that was one of the first experiences with people doing a mainly a cappella type performance.
Right.
So I was like, oh, that's really cool. I wish I had that kind of talent.
No, it's odd too, because Huey sings with a lisp. He doesn't talk with one though. If you listen to him speak, he doesn't have a lisp. When he sings, he has one. It's really odd.
Interesting. Yeah, I never thought about that.
Yeah. It's really weird. But it's, I don't know. I dig that. And the Sports album was really good. I really enjoyed Do You Believe in Love as well. That was a good song. I don't know what that album was called. It wasn't Four. Four was the album. I don't know what the... At any rate,
it's a picture with Huey himself on the front. It's kind of a bluish.
Yeah, it's gray background. Yeah, maybe
kind of a bluish gray.
No, maybe it's blue. Yeah, but yeah, it's kind of a aged looking picture of him, kind of thing. But yeah, I dig him too. I'm not into him like you're into him, but I really do like that song.
We were really huge. We had the posters on the wall because he was one of the first ones that had. Well, and that was during that time where Michael J. Fox. You know, started, and then Michael J. Fox came in with his thing. So, you know, Back in Time was kind of a cool
Power
thing.
Power of Love.
Yeah, oh, yes.
Yeah.
So when we actually watched Back to the Future with the kids the last weekend, I believe it was. So for them, their experience with the whole Back to the Future world is Lego right. Marty and using their Lego dimensions to play these games. So that's why they wanted to watch Doc and Marty. And now all of a sudden they're watching this movie and they're hearing this music for the first time in their world, because I don't play that type of music in the house because they think it's stupid. So they're hearing it and they're like, this is really good. Who is this? I'm thinking, I have failed as a parent.
I'm glad you asked.
Let me just go. I will to show you.
Oh, I totally failed as a music dad. My kid is into the Monkees and stuff. I mean, you know.
And I walked past my sophomore's room the other night, and he's been creating his own music, and some of you might have caught a couple of the tracks that I've shared on my Facebook page. But I'm walking past his room, and he's playing like early, late 70s, early 80s rock tunes in there. And I walk past him once, like, oh, walk back again. He's got a different one on. Oh, walk back. It's like, well, what are you listening? Oh, man, I'm streaming the station. Man, it's playing some awesome stuff here. And he knows these tunes. And it's like, right. When do you listen to these? The last time I checked on your music was like a year and a half ago, and you were into dub or the EDM dubstep. You know, I think they were dubstep, and then they progressed into some EDM things. It's like,
right. Where did something juvenile, yeah.
Yeah, so where did this come from?
You don't know. I mean, my kid was really into 80s music as well. I think I've mentioned this in shows before, but she thinks the greatest song ever written of all time has probably got to be The Safety Dance by Men Without Hats.
Because it's really intellectually stimulating.
There's no song greater than that. And I'll never forget, she came to me one day, we were watching, well, she wanted to see the video, we popped it up, and she said, Daddy, this is such a happy song, and everyone's dancing, why is he so angry? I said, honey, he's not angry. He's new romantic. And she looked at me like, what does that mean? Like, oh, boy. So we went through the whole, you know, new romantic movement. And
explain as long as you're bringing this up now.
New romantic, it was a style, really. It was like a fashion style. It was the hair and the cool mullets before they got, you know, Southern fied and redneck fied. The clothing was more swashbuckler, like Adamant was new romantic, and it was a style. It was a style thing in England, and it kind of spawned off on almost a sub-style of music, and a lot of musicians kind of adopted that. I think early Duran Duran was new romantic, things like that. So it was just a funny thing to say to my kid, and then I had to go through and explain this thing and show her all of these points of reference to new romantic. It was kind of funny, but yeah. Funny to me, nobody else gets it.
Flock of Seagulls, I think, just, would have fit into that.
Yeah, probably. They were very new wave, though, but they did adopt some of that. New Romantic was more like, more Adam Ant was like the poster child for that. And oh boy, I remember that the Village People for a minute in like 80, there was a new Village People, and they were the new Romantic Village People. And they weren't, it was more of a GQ look for them, so, but it was still out there. I don't know, Google it, new romantic.
Yeah, I don't remember the Village People in every incarnation of themselves.
Well, it didn't work. I mean, they were on talk shows about it and things. I remember that, oh, it's the new romantic Village People. So they're like not 70s anymore, they're 80s, they're new romantic now. That was a thing. You know, when I met Felipe Rose at Mobile Beat, I should have brought up the new romantic Village People and see what he thought about that, because it didn't stick.
He was very chatty. He would have definitely talked about it.
Oh, yeah. I've spoken to him a couple times since. Yeah. What the hell's our show about this week?
Well, I wanted to talk about a couple of different things, one of which is DJ scams. There's different types of scams in the industry, and my intent was to talk about the times when people, and we've both read these or had people talk about these, where you've got a bogus client that is contacting you and saying, hey, we're going to plan a party for Tuesday afternoon for my daughter. Price, you know, send me price and I send you check, that, you know, the broken English things. But before we get into those types of things, I want to talk about, because you probably have had this also, where we are doing videos, creating content out there, and we have got someone who is contacting us that is I don't want to say they're scamming, they're not trying to scam or anything, but they're trying to be someone that they're not. They're trying to put on an air of someone who's more competent, or maybe the one that's my favorite is when you have a 12-year-old who is on there on your Facebook and he's trying to impress you that he is this successful business owner.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen that.
I bought all of my equipment myself with my own money.
The greatest story on that is a friend of mine was early in the chat time. This is back when ICQ was just getting going. He had met someone in a DJ chat room, and they started talking. And this young man was, and I've mentioned this before, so some of you might have heard this before. Young man was kind of in the Kansas City area, and he had talked to my friend who was our age, you know, at that time, obviously not, but he was about at that time around in his mid-30s. Early 30s, he had convinced that this friend of mine that he was a very successful multi-system operator down in that, let's call it Kansas City area, might have been a different town, but he had convinced him to the point that he was going to sell his business up in Minnesota and move down there. This kid was a 14-year-old kid who was messing with him. And he was saying the right things, putting the right things out there. Basically, it was really a case of the kid telling him what he wanted to hear. Oh, wow, you're an awesome DJ. And you could come down here and you could make a gazillion dollars. And that's exactly the kind of information my friend was looking for.
Yeah, that looks like the catfish DJ, perhaps. They talk about the catfish thing with, I don't know, young people pretending to be older people or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or a fat person pretending to be thin and sending fake pictures and the catfish.
Yeah. There's, I think that's one of the big things with internet is that you just don't know.
Well, that's what's nice about video.
I'm just going to say that's what really, this is a leveling of a ground because now you can see something.
It was a game changer because I came in to the world of DJs online in about 2004. That's when I finally decided to look for that, you know, something other than pornography. I thought I'd look for it. And it was something that, you know.
What, they have that on the internet?
Yeah, something like that. But anyway, I'm in these chat rooms and everyone's a superstar and everybody knows everything. And you have to watch every word you say. They'll pounce on you for everything. And when I figured out how to upload YouTube videos, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to put me out there, no BS, and see what happens. Because maybe these great ones will put their videos up and I can finally see what they're up to, if they're up to anything at all. Of course, no one did. I was the only one who did anything out of anybody that I knew. Nobody put their money where their mouth was, but I did, you know, and I was honest about it and threw stuff out there. And I don't know. Video saved the world with that kind of stuff. It really did.
In many ways. Although you do still find instances where you'll have someone who is even in our chat room, we had a troll last fall, I believe, that came into the chat room for a couple of days. And he was a younger guy that had no clue, but boy, he was there to, you know, try to slap everyone around and you know, make himself look good, feel good, whatever worked out for him. And,
well, I mean, I'll be attending DJ conferences starting this weekend, like a lot of them. I'm going to be in Canada. I'm going to be in Las Vegas. There are people who quote to be at conferences, and I know they're not being truthful with me.
Oh, sure.
Things they are telling me do not make any sense. And they're volunteering way too much information. And I politely nod my head. And I don't comment on it. And I don't act impressed. Because I know. I can just tell. I can smell like a fart in a car, man. You know when it's bull. They do it with pricing. They do it with the kind of clients they have. They just exaggerate all these things. Tis the way. Yeah. You know? There aren't many people who come onto my videos and say, hey, I'm doing so much better than you. No one does that because they can't back it up. Not that I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing fine, you know, but nobody comes to me on my videos or even messages me and says, man, you could be so much more. You really could. Let me show you because I know all these things.
Right.
No one does that because it's all BS, man. Don't believe the hype. Don't.
Yes.
Don't believe the hype.
It'd be really cool. You're talking with someone and they're going off about something. All of a sudden, there's a little buzzer that goes off. Oh, what's that? Oh, that's my BS meter. It's saying that you're.
Wow, this thing is just
going crazy. Charts, it's you. You're full of crap.
I let him have it. I let him have it every time. I just. Oh, really? Oh, wow. That's great. Well, I have to get back to doing my thing. You know, I hear it all the time. All the time. It's funny.
And that's one of the. It's a frustrating thing because I'm much rather when have someone come up and who's basically like, you know, wow, I'm just getting started, or I have no, you know, I've been doing this and I don't know. And they're open and honest because when they're coming in and trying to impress us with whatever, I mean, not that we're great at what we do. We've just been around for quite a while and have learned from the school of hard knocks.
We're seniors.
Yes, we are. We're the you know, we're just, you know, a year or two away from the rocking chairs on the front porch yelling at the kids across the street from Brian's house. But we can help someone. And as I did a recording today with the with Mitch and Vicky today, and we're talking about some different things of helping people. And we can help people if they're going to be kind of honest with us and you know, giving, kind of letting us know where they're at today and maybe where they want to go. And we can, because of connections or our experience, we can say, wow, you know, hey, you might want to check out this or check out this or try this, and give them some input that gives them value. Instead
most
of
people, my experience is most people, I mean, the vast majority of people come at me very polite and very humble and pick my brain.
Yes.
And I don't mind that.
Not a bit. That's fabulous.
And sometimes I have people talk to me. They're not telling me everything. And then I find out more about these people. I'm like, wow, you came to me? These events you're doing, I've seen your photos, I've heard about you. This is great. You know, once I see some proof in it or I have somebody else back me up on it, oh yeah, this guy, he does this. Mm-hmm. Really? He didn't say anything to me about it. He came at me humble, you know? Yeah. That's more impressive to me than to try to build yourself up as something.
Is this where you put the picture of Howie up?
Yeah. Yeah. Howie, that guy, he's always. No, I've had people like that. Yeah. There's been quite a few people like that over the years. And they come and go.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but Howie, for those of you, if you haven't seen some of the shows that Howie's done with us, he's a very humble, very genuine, very sincere man, and he's got stories.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Power Jams DJs. Is that Jimmy Reed? It's got to be Jimmy Reed. Jimmy J. Sure. Rock Reed. If he's in the room, that's really cool. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a new name. I haven't seen.
No, that's Jimmy. Jimmy's a good guy. He's a DC area DJ, and he has a group called Empower Network, where he has a select group of DJs and they share ideas and kick things back and forth and lift each other up. It's a real cool organization. He's got me as a part of it. I pop in when I can. I share the videos when I can. I get busy and I apologize for that, but yeah, he does really good things. Is Brian going to Vegas? Yes, Brian is going to Vegas. So.
But first, Brian's taking a detour going up to Toronto.
Toronto! Yeah. But I was on something and I got stuck on Jimmy. You asked me a question or something.
We started. You were talking about.
Howie.
Yeah.
So we're talking about. Yeah, Howie's just the nice guy who likes all of my videos. He shares them. And you guys should all be more like Howie. You should like and share my videos. Be like Howie. What would Howie do? He would like and share my videos.
You guys
and
get a rest brand that says, what would Howie do?
Yeah, what would Howie do? Howie would like and share and make nice comments on my videos. You all should be doing that crap. But anyway, I'm talking to Howie about stuff. And he's like, yeah, you know, I used to do sound at CBGBs. And what's the other joint? Max's Kansas City and all these punk joints that are like iconic in New York. And I'm like, well, how come you never mentioned this? Yeah, it was a long time ago. Yeah. And I'm, you know, Lou Reed's a nice guy. Yeah, I bought his Harley off of him. We didn't talk music, but I'm like, where is this coming from? It was just cool to hear all these stories, you know, and I knew the references he was throwing out there. And then I turned Howie on to some stuff. I don't know if he followed up on it, but some cool stuff from the areas that he was doing sound in, some movies, and one Downtown 81 or New York Beat movie is a must if you're into new wave, no wave, punk, New York at all in the early 80s when it was New York, before it became Disney's version of New York, which it is now.
That still made me laugh. I told Lori about that one. So
I'll be here tomorrow on a quick layover, like at LaGuardia, like for an hour, but not even. But yeah, it's Disney's version of New York. It's not New York anymore. I mean, everything I ever saw in the movies and know about music and culture, it's Disney fight pretty big time.
Yeah, but they had to clean it up.
Yeah, well, I think it was a Jason Longobardo from he's out there. He's a rep for a lot of people. Good guy, and he was talking about. They showed a picture of Chinatown. There was some graffiti on some of the doors, you know, that closed the stores. And he said, "Man, it's really a sad time when, you know, Chinatown, you know, looks like this." And I look at the picture and I'm saying, you know, something in New York has to look like New York. It might as well be Chinatown, because the rest of the city looks like a Disney version of it. So
awesome.
I'm kind of happy that they did that from an outsider's point of view. I don't live there, so it's hard to say that to a resident. But from a guy who likes to visit, I want to see that stuff and not get shot at.
Yeah, that would be the part that lasts, not getting shot at.
Mugged or whatever, yeah.
Oh, okay. So, talking about this past weekend, someone had shared a scam that had come in, and a lot of you, I'm sure, have heard of the different internet scams. You know, we get email ones, we get messages, text messages. I've gotten those sent off. You know, some recent email ones is your Facebook. You need to confirm your account, and that's how they can steal your identity, what have you. There's a whole ton of those, and I don't want to really get into those. The ones I want to get into a little bit or talk about are the ones where the ultimate goal of the scammer is to get a hold of your checking account, the numbers for your checking account, because
wire money or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Want to wire money in, and for those, if you don't know too much about that, is if a person has a check blank from your checkbook, and if they have the bank routing number and they have your account number, that's all they need to put money in and take money out of your account. It's really, if they know what they're doing, they can do it and do it pretty easily. Now, there's some additional things for some banks that are needed, but some of the smaller banks, some of the credit unions and things, they can, that's all they really need to go and to have that information to get in. So they're tightening it up a little bit, but in the case of our bank, our checking account, is we have different people who want to pay direct deposit with our, when we invoice them.
Right.
And when we went to the bank and said, hey, we want to set this up, the bank was looking at us. They're like, you do realize that when you give them that information, the routing number, this and that and the other thing, that there's nothing you can do. They could withdraw money from your account once they have those numbers, and you wouldn't know about it until the money's gone.
Right.
So in our particular case, what we do for the Disc Jockey News is we have a landing account, and as soon as the money gets into that account, it's transferred out to a different account, so there's never anything sitting in that account.
Smart.
But the idea with some of these scammers, and it we'll go back to one that it was about 2006. I actually did one of these scams. I went along with it to see, because you knew what it was. And at the particular time, what they were doing is they were sending out a check. They would contact you either by my request for information, but they would contact you one way, shape, or form via a digital format. They weren't calling. And they were saying, hey, we've got an event this date, and what's your rate? So, you know, okay, I'm open. And there have been some where they've actually spoken in pretty good English in their message. So I knew it was a scam. So I replied to them because they were talking about the venue, and they didn't have the right information for the venue. But so I played along. And it turned out that, okay, I told them I was going to charge $1,500 at the time. And I think I was like a $700 DJ at the time. Yeah, maybe an $800 DJ for that type of event. But I was going to go higher to see where
they would
go.
On.
Yeah, exactly. So... Yeah. So I gave them number, and they're like, great. I'm going to get a, do you mind if I pay in full before the event? It's like, no problem whatsoever. So they sent out, I got 2 days later, I got a registered letter in the mail, and inside was a check, a bank check. I charged $15. The bank check was for $3,500. And of course, the thing is, then you're supposed to, you take that check and you look at it and you're like, oh no. And you contact the person, you say, oh, sir, you sent out too much money. And he goes, oh, my accountant screwed up. Well, I'll tell you what, can you go cash the check? It's a bank check, so the check is good. Can you cash that check? And then can you wire the additional to this Western Union account number? And that's going to go to my event planner, or, you know, something, some other wedding person that's involved with the wedding. So that way, you know, I'm paid and I'm paid in full, so everything's good. Here's where that scam gets interesting. We took that check up to the bank, and it's like, okay, look at this check. Can you? And they're like, yeah, that check looks good. I mean, she holds it up to the light. It's got the proper the little watermarking and such. She goes, it looks like a good check. So then we went and called the bank that it was drawn on, and we called the bank and asked, does this account, we have a check here. And basically, all they could do at that point in time is ask the bank, is there enough money in the account to cover the check? There was. And that's all the bank would tell them in that round. So she came back and she goes, it looks like a legit check and there's money there. Again, I know it's a scam, so I'm not going to, you know, we're not going to cash this. It's like, okay, now can you call back and tell them we're doing some research for an article, and that we know this check is bad, and then have them look it up a little bit more. So they call back. They go to the person's account number, and then they start checking check numbers, because this time they asked for the check number. Turns out that this check had already been had gone through as a $50 check or something somewhere. They had stole the person's account number. Then they stole their check. They just picked a random check number, and they wrote it out. But it looked good enough so it would have passed that call back and forth so that I would have gone through and I would have cashed it. And because we, the other bank confirmed that there was money there, I would have been like, oh, and then now let's wire that $2,000 over to, you know, here.
Yeah.
And it, that so I would have then sent the $2,000 gone. I would have gone home thinking, ooh, I've got $1,500 in my bank account. What happens is that when that check goes to the first bank, they're going to look and say, oh, this is a bogus check. They send it back to my bank. My bank looks at that and says, oh, Mr. Young, this is a bad check. By the way, you need to give us now $3,500 plus the fees for the check coming right back. And then I'm down $3,540, I think, or whatever it was at the time.
Yeah.
That was a big scam that was going on for quite a bit. I think I have three different checks that I collected during that time frame, and they were all pretty much the same.
I've been contacted a few times on that, and all I got to do is look at the email and go, no, we're not even replying to this.
Yeah, it's certainly not worth it. And then people are talking, there's different.
Sorry, I'm booked. I reply, that's what it is. But I'm real funny about that kind of stuff. I guess I've got anytime they want money back, forget it. Yeah.
And I think, the current one, and many people have gotten that, is now they're not talking about doing the check and money back thing, that they're calling in there or they're, you know, we want to pay you and get you paid up and such, but we can't use PayPal because PayPal doesn't accept this card or doesn't do this. There's some reason why they can't accept PayPal. Well, how about Square? Well, we can't do Square either. You know what we can do is we can wire the money directly to you. I mean, they're very obvious that they're wanting those numbers. And that's where we're getting back to that whole bank idea, is that if they get those numbers, you know, then you're basically, you're time to shut that account down because it's going to be a compromised account.
I had a dealing recently where I had to give some account information out, and it was legitimate. It was for a company that I work with, for wiring me funds that they owed me as a billing kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I sent them an invoice for it. It was FBT, some hotel charges that they owed, and I ended up paying for my credit card. And, you know, I had to give, it was international wire transfer, so it's a little different than. Boy, my bank questioned me up and down about who I was giving this information to.
Oh, yeah.
They were very, I'm like, no, it's, I know these people, I've been to their factory, you know, this is real. It's legitimate what they want to do. And, the bank was very suspicious. What are you doing, Brian? I mean, I've been banking there for like 25 years. What are you doing? Like, I'm just trying to get reimbursed for some hotel expenses from a company that we're with. Are you sure you want to give this information out? Like, yeah, it's they're no, they're good. They're good. They're no, this isn't a scam. This is real.
Yeah.
So yeah, but they were on it. They understood that something, especially international, then they get real suspicious.
And that's Lori with running the local newspaper. Every once in a while, we'll hear a story from a little old person here who has fallen for one of the scams. And the one that they the one that's going around, and I'm sure you guys have heard this one, it's been around for a couple of, you know, for a number of years, but I think 2 weeks ago, it was going around the, you know, hey grandma, I got really bad news. I'm in jail and I need $1,000 for bail so I can get out. And I don't want to, mom and dad, we're going to freak and they're going to kill me. So can you help me out? And of course, as a 80 something year old person, and if the voice sounds, you know, it's, hey grandma. And then the grandmas unfortunately sometimes say, Paulie, is that you? Yeah, Grandma, I'm in jail. and now they have a name.
This reminds me of my mom. Everything you're telling me reminds me of my mom, because she kept getting those Microsoft scams for a while, where they would call and say, "Oh, we need your computer is not good. We have to fix it. Please send some money. We will fix everything." And she'd ask them questions. They'd get frustrated and hang up. But then, I think it was on Thanksgiving she got a phone call, and the call was like, it's like, Grandma? I was like, yeah? I'll bet you'll never guess who this is. Zach? Yeah, just thought I'd give you a call. Oh, well, that was nice of you. Yeah. Yeah, we're just, you know, was thinking about you, Thanksgiving, what, talked for like 20 minutes. And my mom was being very kind of like, you know, not herself. And she says, I don't know if I did the right thing or not. I don't know if that was Zach. He never calls. Why would he call? I haven't talked to him for a long time. My sister's kid.
Yeah.
I was like, well, we need to call my sister to find out if her kid called. So we know.
Yeah.
It was my nephew. It was. Hmm. But she hadn't talked to him in so long. She didn't know. But she thought it was a scam. She's very, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Very. you got the guard up and such because you just don't know.
Right. Damn kids.
Yeah, precisely.
What else we got tonight? We're going to talk about some of these trade shows.
Yep, and then I want to get into those trade shows a little bit and talk about that. So just the takeaway from the scam stuff, your bank account, and it's great to see that Brian's bank is very careful and ours is. We are in three different banks, and one of the three is not that way. They're basically...
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, okay. You need that. Go. Okay. Just bank information, your check blanks, destroy those, shred those, burn them, whatever. Don't let those numbers get out there. Those things can cause you a lot of problems. Okay. Shows. So this weekend, you're going to be going up to Toronto.
And leaving tomorrow.
Goodness gracious. The week is moving quickly, isn't it?
I'm going to go visit Gabe and Dina. Scrim King and Queen. Yes. They've got a shagadelic place outside of Toronto that I hung out last year and really enjoyed it. So I'm going to go spend some time with them. I'm getting in later than I wanted to get in. I wanted to spend like a couple days with them before I had to hit the show. But going up there and having a little of R&R, a day and a half of R&R before I hit the show. I've got two seminars I'm doing and probably a broadcast too. So we'll see.
Yeah, we're going to see about getting that over but the event is Saturday and Sunday, correct?
Yes.
So we'll be, depending upon times and such, we'll publicize when we're going to be able to get the stream going. You know, Brian's got to get there and check internet and make sure, you know, that the wind is in the right direction, all the important things.
Right.
And then we're going to go. So you'll be translating it from Canadian to...
Right. Yeah. Right. I do weddings, eh? I love that. I'm just burnt in my brain. Everything seemed very normal the whole time I was there until the guy was talking to, I don't know, it was our rep from Zip DJ or something. It's like, yeah, well, you know, I do weddings, eh? And I'm like, oh, I'm in Canada. I'm still in Canada.
It's the out. Yeah, how they pronounce that, they put that U, they hit that hard U in there, and it's like, oh, yes, we're... And of course,
that's the whole country, though. It's that way on the West Coast. It's that way in Newfoundland. It's that way everywhere. And here, like America, we talk different in different places. And I'm sure they do, too. But a boat and a boat are the same thing everywhere. They all do a boat.
Yeah, they hit that a little bit.
Harder on the West Coast, I think. Like, I think of Christian Pulse over at Pioneer. A boat. But then I think of Gabe. There and he, every time I ask him something, instead of it says pardon or whatever, that's something that the old ladies used to say in cartoons when they couldn't hear. Hey, funny, hey,
speak up a little bit, dear.
Hey,
yeah, the big horn sounds thing,
funny. Yeah, the big, right. The
and,
big
it's, horn. And then Sylvester comes running and chasing the bird and runs right up.
Right, yeah, the 1812 hearing aid, and yeah. So, no, I love it up there, though. I'm looking forward to going. I just am not exactly sure what I'm doing there. Two seminars. And I'm actually buttoning those up tonight. So, I'm still working on them. Last minute, I always do it that way. It's like studying for a test. You don't want to do it 3 months out. You want to do it right before the test.
So, you don't forget anything.
Right. Otherwise, like, what did I write down?
What did I mean by this?
Yeah.
Expect incredibly large laugh. What was this supposed to be that would get me a large laugh? I don't know. It doesn't make sense anymore.
Right. Yeah.
So what are you going to be speaking on? Have you gotten kind of a topic? Give us a little sneak peek into what you'll be talking on.
Well, I cheated, actually, a little bit. Not really, but... So I was having a talk with the organizers, and they were talking about a presenter, high profile presenter. They said, yeah, we saw him at a show like 10 years ago, and he did this amazing seminar. This is a great presentation. Really enjoyed it. So a few years ago, we went ahead and had him come to our show. We thought, hey, you know, let's see what he's got this time. And it was the exact same presentation, word for word. Slides were the same. Everything was the same. And I thought, well, I'm not going to do that to you. Every time I go, I'm going to give you a new presentation. Every time I speak, it's going to be something new. Now, if I do a show in Canada and then I do a show in Atlantic City this summer, I might do the same presentation, but I'm not going to bring the same presentation back to Toronto.
Sure.
So they asked me to do two this time. One I'm doing on based on a DJ news article I wrote, because I thought it would be a fun discussion topic and it makes it a really easy seminar to write, would be, who are you trying to impress? Do you remember that article I did?
Yes.
So I'm going to do a seminar on who are you trying to impress, just to get people thinking about what their motivations are when they're doing what they're doing. So that's going to be my fluff seminar. And then my other one is going to be more about prepping for the gig. And it's less about how to prep for a gig and more about getting people to think about the time and money they're investing in each event they do. Once you can do that, then you can start thinking about what you're charging, or at least what you need to charge to at least recoup your money. I don't think a lot of people do that. I thought it'd be an interesting seminar. And that's the one I'm working on, like right now, really trying to get it buttoned up. And it's 75% there. I'll finish it after we're done with the broadcast. But yeah, those are the two subjects I have. So we have who are you trying to impress, which will be good. I know that'll be a good one. And prepping for the gig, which is more than a gig prep seminar. People know how to prepare for gigs. They do them all the time, but we forget. I think we forget what we're actually doing and putting into each event.
And I think that's a great topic to be talking about. You know, the things we do have a monetary value, and if we can't be recouping that, it's too easy to start throwing things in or doing more things, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, I'm making $2.50 an hour.
One thing that I thought about, and I included in my seminar, I'll give you a little preview. When I'm talking about what we put into these events, one thing that we do on an annual basis is education. Now, this could be attending a trade show like everyone there will be doing, or it could also be watching some informative YouTube videos or doing some research on a specific type of event or a specific type of setup or lighting rig or whatever the case might be. But I also included that in your out-of-pocket expenses per gig. So if you're doing, let's just throw a number out there, 20 gigs per year, right? And you went to a show like the CDJ show, like I'm doing in Toronto, you were there for a total of 48 hours away from your family, you paid for hotel and all that stuff, right? Let's say you had $500 invested in it, okay? 500 divided by 20 is 25. You need to tack that on to every one of your events as an expense. I believe you do, for the annual education cost. Not only that, but when you're trying to add up your time as to how much time you actually have into preparing for the gig, you need to add that education. So 48 divided by 20. It's like, what, 2.5? Or yeah. 2 point something, 2.4. I don't know. But okay, there you go. Add it. That counts. That was preparing for the event because you were educating yourself on how to do things. At least on an annual basis, you should do that, I think.
I like to think of the my time as different dollars per hour activities. There's some activities we do that are $2 an hour activities. There's some things that we do that are $10 an hour activities, and some things that are, you know, $100 an hour activities.
Sure.
To try to get an idea, or, you know, to keep things kind of straight, because there's some things you do that are not as valuable to the ultimate outcome of your business. And
right.
Then there's some things you do that are incredibly valuable. You know, when you're scripting and planning for a wedding and doing that, that's probably, you know, a higher value thing. You know, if I'm putting, you know, going and doing something smaller, or if I'm going and reading it may not have as high a value for the ultimate outcome of what I'm, whatever. But it's some of those things.
Right. No, you're right. Absolutely right. And what I'm doing, I'm not even talking about what type of cash value to put on those hours. Mm-hmm. All I really want people to do is realize that they have those hours and invest it.
Yeah.
That's the important part. So they can do whatever, like you're taking it a step further, which is wonderful. But as you know, when you're doing things like videos for people who are DJs, you got to take them through baby steps. You got to take them, you know, you got to do one little thing at a time. And to have them break the hours down and put a value to each one of those hours, depending on what activity they were doing, that's step eight. I'm on step one with these folks.
Precisely. You have to start and get the idea that your time has a value is really something that I think a lot of us struggle with, because we're think, you know, it's like, oh, really? Now I can go do that. And even when Laurie and I are doing different things.
That's the thing I hear. Well, I like doing it. Well, what about the guy who likes to build houses? Should he just do it for nothing? I mean, it's what about the doctor who loves being a doctor and loves helping people? I still love what the Joker said in The Dark Knight. If you're good at something, never do it for free. I love that line.
I think it's a fabulous line. A fabulous line.
From the bad guy, you know, but that's a line that inspired me in the film, was from Heath Ledger's Joker. If you're good at something, never do it for free. Yeah. But no, I see Mark Farrell's posts all the time on Facebook. Great guy. I like Mark a lot, but my God, it's just this how much worth pricing thing. And it's not going to work for everybody, and everyone's going to absorb it the same. So, you know, let's back up a little bit. Let's realize what our time invested is and what our out-of-pocket expenses are, so we can at least get that back. And you can go wherever you want from there, wherever you'd like. So that's my ambitious seminar. And I hope that's the first one I do. I haven't looked at the schedule yet. I don't know which one's
Saturday,
Monday. Pardon?
Yeah, which one? Yep. Yeah, which one will be first?
I don't know which one first. I haven't looked at the schedule. I'll find out. I like being surprised. You know that I like being surprised.
You do. You do like that living kind of spontaneously.
It's fun. But I should probably know. I if that's the first one, the second one's going to be gravy. I don't know which one they thought was the big hitter. I don't even know what times they are. I hope they're not too early. Last year they put me at like 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. I'm like, gee, thanks a lot, Doug. I appreciate that. I'm in Toronto. Everybody wants me to come party and go out with them. And 9 o'clock in the morning, I'm doing a seminar. Oh man, what are you doing? What are you doing?
You're not, generally, you're not. You're more that late night person, not so much the early morning person.
I have to switch everything around for these shows sometimes. They do this stuff. So, you know, okay, you want me to do something at 9 and something at 10 at night? No, 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 we can't do that. But we do it anyway.
Yeah.
Go with it. It's a trip to Canada, and in Vegas I really don't have any obligation, so that's kind of cool.
So you'll be able to hang out and chat with people, and
yeah, which I want to do, you know. Yeah. I want to be able to chill and just be. It'll be a nice break, and it'll be warm, we presume.
We're hoping it's got to be warmer than it is up here.
Yeah, so yeah, quite a week coming up.
Yeah, it'll be a busy time.
And I can't forget, I have to book a flight home because I've kind of neglected to do that. So, I have
to do that. So you have to book a last minute flight back too.
Yeah, pretty much. I was considering going to see my sister in Phoenix, but that puts me out well over a week from home. And I'm just thinking that might just be counterproductive. So I'll probably not do that.
Oh, you might have to catch a ride with Ben back in his NLFX Pro truck.
No, no.
Over no, the mountains in the semi. It'll be awesome.
We will fly home direct if possible.
So we're talking about our time having value. Mm-hmm. This is an area that I struggle with, and I know a lot of our viewers are kind of DIY people. There's times where a DIY project is more expensive to us than to just go out and buy that particular item. I know you've talked about, you know, kind of a little bit in some of the things you've done in your past or with your videos and such, where you've done some DIY things. Where do you kind of draw a line where you're saying, you know what, it's just not worth my time to do this because I can just go by this solution?
Mm. Yeah, there's a lot of that. Well, what I do, what I have to do, what I'm forced to do now that people are watching, is when I'm doing DIY stuff, if it's for the business, you know, I got to figure out a way that it can be done that anybody could do it. If I start getting out my grinder and getting out specialty tools and doing all these crazy things, a lot of people who watch my videos will say, well, I don't do any of that. I don't own any of that stuff. This is irrelevant to me. This doesn't help me. Mikey Mike does that kind of stuff. He's very good at what he does. But Mikey Mike is a rocket scientist. And I say that not as an analogy to how smart he is. I say that because he is a rocket scientist. He works for Virgin Space. That's what he does. So a lot of people aren't relating to what Mikey Mike's doing because of that. So I got to make it simple. And if it's too hard, yeah, you got to do a cost versus time thing. Some things just don't, it's just easier to throw money at things. I was building that countertop from the bench top, butcher block top. And I was looking at the prices on the things. Wow, you know, $300. You know? So I go on YouTube and like, yeah, make your own butcher block top. These dudes are like gluing 2x4s together and doing biscuit cuts and putting them through planers. And no, we're going to buy a top.
Yes.
Because this takes too much time. I don't have the skills to do it. And even if I did, it would be too much time. I would rather just buy the damn thing and be done with it.
Yep.
And I did it very reasonable. So you just got to be smart about it, I think. You know, it's just common sense on a lot of this stuff. Answer your question?
No, that does, because there have been times as I'm working in projects and such, and you're looking at it, and it's like, okay, I could create what the tabletop is a prime example. As I built these little shelving units that I'm using for a workstation, one of them I went and I built the top for it, and it turned out it's a beautiful piece, but it took me between assembling it and then sanding it and getting it prepped and then going in and staining it and then covering it, varnishing, you know, 17 times. So it's a nice thick coat of varnish on it. I had a week's worth of work into it.
Right.
I can go buy a piece of countertop and I've got $60 or whatever it is into that piece of countertop.
Right.
And yeah. I'm done.
How long does it take you to make $60 at home?
Yeah, precisely. That really becomes, this is getting back to that task, the dollar per task. That particular countertop I made, if I could buy a different one for $60, I had probably maybe $3 an hour tasks or what those tasks were to get that piece of wood. And granted, it was, dad made it and such, and the kids
helped. There's value to that.
So there was some value. I mean, the best project I did is when I built a desk unit for my son. So he's got a 6 foot wide desk that we built into that, so he can have two computers and his 3D printers and things up in that. That was that one. Yes, I could have bought something, but in that particular case, it needed to be a custom piece, and I got to spend some time with the kids coming out.
That's cool. Yeah.
So in that particular case, the dollar per hour was much higher. If nothing else, it was in the value to one's, one's psyche or one's heart, compared to the other one, which the kids were like, oh, that's pretty neat, Dad.
That bench I built, I did a video on it last night just because I had to. I just felt so, I don't know if you saw it.
I haven't seen it yet, no.
You need to watch it because it's up your alley. Yeah. I explained what I did and what I bought, and I even did cost on it. Nice. So check that out tonight if you would. I think you being a tool guy will appreciate it. But I came in at less money, several hundred dollars less than I would have buying something off the shelf. And I got exactly what I wanted, because I wanted something a little different than what off the shelf offered.
Very nice.
It works better for me and it costs me less. Do I have time into it? Yeah, I do. I do have time into it. How much time? Not an incredible amount. Most of the time that I have into it actually is just the thought process of staring at it. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? And that's most everything I do. I spend more time staring at it and processing it than I do actually producing the piece or fixing it or whatever. It's this, I don't know if it's an old guy thing or what, but I just stare at it for the longest time. And my I plan as I go. I've always been that way. I don't sit down and write down a plan and this is exactly how it goes. No, I come up with ideas as I go. Well, I got to start with this and I got to do this. And, you know, while I'm at it, I'll do this. And the, but yeah, I mean, that made sense. That gave me what I needed. I was limited on space and I do have some specific special needs that it worked out for me well.
Yeah. I'll definitely check that out.
Sometimes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my dad is the king of that stuff. If I learned how to waste time and money, it was my dad because he's a kid of the Depression, you know? So if you have, I don't know, what kind of piece of crap do I have laying around here? I got this cap from my Starbucks that's gone. I'm going to throw it away. But my dad would look at this and say, you could use this for something.
Oh, certainly.
You could put screws in there.
Yeah, it could be a container.
You could put a little bit of paint in there and you could do a lot. Don't throw this away. It's just going to be landfill. You should upcycle it and you can keep it. Because in the Depression, they weren't manufacturing anything. It was all to the war effort. Yes. So there wasn't any stuff. If you threw the stuff away, you didn't get more stuff. You had to fix the stuff you had or you didn't have any stuff. And that's been instilled in his brain because not only did he grow up during the Depression, but he grew up in an orphanage during the Depression. Oh my God, what am I supposed to do with this? So my whole life was like this. I remember my first job I ever had, that was a legitimate job that I clocked in and out of, not like horse farms or something, was a drugstore. And part of the things that I had to do at the drugstore, and I've talked about this before, there was a popcorn machine that they just threw back there. Hey, you're going to do popcorn in the video department now. So we had to clean this thing, this popcorn popper kettle thing. And if you left it on too long, it got scorched or whatever. And we were very limited as to what we could use on it because just the break room, you know, we couldn't really douse it in water because it was electrical. So I spent a lot of time scrubbing that thing and I grabbed some cleaning supplies and, you know, tried to do the right thing. And man, I just wanted to make it spotless. I was scrubbing every little stain off of it, everything else. And the system manager came back and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm cleaning this damn thing. I said, you've been cleaning that thing for 2 hours. Like, yeah. Uh-huh. Screw it. It ain't worth it. It's costing me more money for you to clean this thing than it would be for me to buy a new one.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, this thing clicked in my head. Oh, my God. Everything my father taught me was wrong. I've got to relearn everything in life because I'm so screwed up and damaged now. I want to fix and save everything. Now I do it in moderation. There are some things I do, some things I don't. It just depends if it's worth it. I had a cabinet in there I found in the garbage. It served me well for a lot of years. And what I was going to do with that cabinet was paint it to match my chest, my tool chest and things.
Right.
And I did the math on it. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to have probably about 2 hours worth of time invested in this. And I think $23 in materials with spray paint and sandpaper and whatever. Okay. I took everything out of the cabinet and Blanca and I brought it up into the driveway and Blanca looks at the bottom of the thing and she says, nope. Like, what do you mean? No, I'll fix it. She says, nope. And took her finger and just went right through it. It was all rusted.
Oh, sure.
And I was like, yeah, okay. Okay. Put it out to the road. I struggled a little bit with that. Oh, well, you could take a 2x4 and put down there and screw it. Or I could junk it and go buy the cabinet I want for $250 that has more storage anyway. And it's already painted the color I want.
And yeah, it will last a lot longer than something that's already starting to rust.
Yeah, it solves more problems than it creates, that's for sure. So this is the route we're going to go. It's all about common sense. Again, and I'm serious about that. I'm kind of making fun of Dad, and I shouldn't do that. But I did have to unlearn some things my dad taught me because they're just wrong.
Yeah, and they grew up during a different time. I mean, we saw grandmothers, you know, and our got to spend time with my grandmothers, and they would save, you know, the wrappers, the off the butter, the quarters of butter or the pounds of butter. And they would take those and they'd wash those and flatten them out and put them in a drawer. And she had a drawer that had, you know, 50 to 100 of those in there because you never knew. Or milk cartons, they would save those and they would use them to freeze. They would process their own chicken and freeze chicken in these milk cartons. And I mean, everybody's got those recycle stories. And that was just that generation, how they grew up. And
it's just extreme recycling.
Yeah.
Extreme. It's like an obligation to just use everything. And you know what? I'm still struggling with washing garbage. I don't know why I have to do this. There's got to be some kind of bad cost analysis and environmental negative thing about wasting water to wash out a bottle. I don't know. I struggle with that, and I'm probably wrong, but I don't just go at it without questions. I have questions. I do it reluctantly, but it just doesn't seem to make sense to me sometimes.
Yeah, you can look at that. It's the plastics and different things. Lori and I are at Costco, and we want to buy some apples. And you go in, they've got these Costco's got beautiful apples, but they're in these plastic trays, and you're looking at it's like, oh, that tray, that's garbage. But it's a tray that looks like it could be useful for something. So I walk by saying, you know, I don't really want to have that tray go sitting in the garbage or, you know, sitting in recycling. Lori looks at it and she's like, oh, we could put Christmas ornaments in those. So there ends up two of those in our cart. And next thing you know, there's two of those sitting in our garage waiting for Christmas ornaments that probably will never be unboxed again. But
yeah. You can, but should you?
Yes, yes.
You could do this, but will you do this?
Should you? Yes.
We threw so much stuff away cleaning out that storage area, the shop area. And, you know, there was a couple of things that I threw out. As I'm throwing them into the dumpster, I'm going, I'm sorry. But, and you got this whole thing with, you know, is it doing you any good if it's in your way?
That was my
$5 in 8 years, but in the meantime, you're tripping over the damn thing every day? I don't know.
Big box of... when we were multi, we had 16 systems at the time, and the light shows were basically four floodlights on the top, which were par 56, I think is what they were. Then we had four of the par 40, 48 pins, and then we had a mirror ball at the front, and then we would have two Vertipros. And so that meant at one time I owned 30 some Vertipros. So these things don't die.
Right.
Some do, but surprisingly,
they were
a very hardy fixture and very, very cool, especially when they were linked and they would do this little stutter. That was such an incredible effect, especially with fog. So I have these Vertipros, and I've listed them on Craigslist, and I've sold, I think, four of them at $10 a pop.
Yeah.
It's gotten to the point now where I have these things. So now it's time that we're taking these things and trying to take them to different, you know, where, can we donate them here, get rid of them here? Can we do that? Do we sneak them into the garbage when the garbage man isn't looking? And, because they're boxes of these old lights that are just in the way. And it's like,
I can
trip over them weekly. Or as I was telling Lori yesterday, it's like, you know, I'm just going to load the boxes up, take them up to the main recycling garbage dump, what have you, and if they recycle them, they recycle them. If they throw them into the dump, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just the point. You've got to get them out of the way. Yeah, 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Yeah, that's the life of a DJ.
So many cars that I've owned, I've had these cars, and I'm like, oh, man, this little piece of trim is broke, but maybe if I, I want it right, but then I got to fix this and that, and that's expensive, but I'm going to get it, and I'm going to put it on my list and buy all this stuff to make it right, and then when the day comes when you just need a new car and you buy it and there's something wrong with it and you're like, God, this was so much easier than to sweat about that trim piece that was gone or try to replace it. Or I don't know. It's an old guy thing. So I apologize to all the young DJs watching this thing. What are they talking about?
Yeah, exactly. What are they? Is it too good?
What are they talking about? Talking about people like my grandfather. Yeah. Well, wait, it's going to happen to you too.
It'll happen to you. Except instead of talking about gear and equipment, you'll be like, you know, I had all these apps on my phone. I was looking for something and I couldn't find it.
There were so many apps.
I just don't know how to handle this, man. So I just started deleting them.
This was before, you know, the phone and your brain were like connected via whatever. You had to push buttons and figure the damn thing out.
I just can't imagine anyone being that slow in that data.
You weren't jacked. It wasn't jacked into your brain yet. It was hard.
Yeah.
You had to touch stuff. We used to have to use keyboards. The goddamn thing's batteries went out of them all the time. It's going to be fun. It'll happen too.
Yeah, it will.
It'll happen too. My dad talks about, well, we listened to the radio and whatever was on and it was great. And then I'm thinking, oh, yeah, you know, I used to have to watch the black and white TV in the basement because somebody was watching hee-haw and the one upstairs that was color, and I was punished. I had to watch the black and white one in the basement. And then my kids complaining because, well, I had to go watch my 32-inch flat screen LED in my room with, you know, with 1,000 channels, full cable, because my dad was watching the 55-inch downstairs, the stupid show he watches. It's all wrong.
Actually, the one is, I've got to upgrade to the $10 a month music service because the $5 music service doesn't allow me to skip ahead on songs fast enough.
Because yeah. I have no attention span.
We don't. Gang, we need to wrap things up.
Sorry.
For those of you who are sorry about the off-base tangent nights, but, you know, sometimes we have those.
We just became old guys.
Yeah, we just did. Well, when I started the night off talking about, you know, the rockers on the front porch yelling at the neighbor, Brian's neighbors, yeah. You just got a preview of that. I'm just saying.
Well, you said yelling at the kids, and that was the funny part, because the kids are like 24-year-old hipsters.
We'd yell at
that's
them.
The funny part about yelling at the kids. It's not the children. It's not the...
Yeah, the hipsters would be more fun because they might bring us beer.
They're apologetic is what they are, which is really funny because you get so mad at them and you don't want to say anything and you don't want to say anything. These guys are like big guys with like beards and tattoos and stuff, you know? You don't want to say anything. And finally, you just blow up. You're like, God damn it, turn it down. I'm sorry, sir. I'm sorry. Hey, we didn't know. I'm sorry. And you feel bad because they feel bad because you hurt their feelings. Because no one's ever yelled at them before because they're 22-year-old hipsters. It's hard.
And at one time, we were playing our music too loud, too.
Yeah, I know. But I call my... But when I'm playing my music loud, I call my neighbors and say, can you hear it yet? Oh, you think I'm kidding. I do it all the time. I'm like, can you hear it yet? Nope. Okay, well, here, let me give it a little more power. Call me, text me when you can hear it.
Can you hear it? that should be a t-shirt. Can you hear it yet?
Can you hear it yet? Well, when I had the system set up in the basement, it was kind of fun. So we're going to go through not only the basement walls, but the ground and see if the neighbors can hear it. And they could, which was really cool.
Wow.
And then can you feel it yet? But I couldn't do that too much because I was already causing property damage here at the house.
Rattling things.
I wasn't happy with it.
And if she's not hit, no, it's not a good thing. All right, gang, we're going to wrap things up. Thank you much for watching. If you have some time tomorrow night, we're going to be doing a DJN TV Insider chat tomorrow night. Basically, we're going to be doing a webinar software thing where everyone who's an insider is going to get a link tomorrow afternoon, early evening. And we're just going to have a massive gab session tomorrow night. And we can break into some small rooms if people want to do that or the large one. And just sharing ideas, and it's going to be very similar to the conversations that we would have if we were at a DJ convention face-to-face. So for some of you who can't go, this will be a great time for that tomorrow night. So that'll be going and starting at 8:30 tomorrow evening, East Coast time. If you want more information, you can go hit me up on Facebook or go out to DJNTVInsider.com and sign up, and you'll be there with us tomorrow night. And then we have, at 10 o'clock Eastern time, we'll be doing a show on Fiverr. If you guys have not heard of Fiverr, if you've not used Fiverr, Jared's going to be talking about that tonight. The big area, my boys actually were wanting to come in and be a part of that show because they both have been running very successful Fiverr businesses, which as I'm hearing today more about my second son's business, it's like, wow, I didn't know you were making that much money off Fiverr.
Well, if I was available to tune in, I would, because I have no freaking idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's going to be some good stuff. So we'll catch you guys.
And quickly before you go, John, I'm very sorry, but I don't know if I'll be here next week.
Yeah, we'll play it by ear of what we're going to be doing, because this is tough.
I nominate Howie to come in and sub for me if I'm not available.
That sounds good. We'll play that by ear and get things set up. We'll know by Monday what's going to happen, but we'll be in touch, Brian. So cool. Once again, thank you guys for being with us. We will catch you tomorrow night. Good night, everyone.